Welcome to Widows Speak. My name is Simone Levy, and I am the founder and mentor of Widows Wish, an organization dedicated to supporting widows and their children on their journey to peace and contentment. The mission of Widows Wish is to provide a community where widows can explore their grief, challenges, triumphs, and joys with others. I look forward to welcoming you in this new safe place to offer you advice, support, and yes, even a little humor as we traverse this new reality together. Today, I am really excited to introduce you to my good friend, David Pritchard. So a little backstory before we begin. When I lost Mark 9 years ago, I knew soon after that I would need to be emotionally healthy myself before I could give back to my children and take care of their emotional needs. I did all the traditional counseling and therapy. I joined support groups and went to my private therapist, sometimes twice a week. After joining so many groups and going to hundreds of hours of therapy, nothing seemed to be helping, and I was still in this dark abyss of grief. While I completely and absolutely support therapy and groups, I knew that I personally needed something more. It was about 2 years after Mark died that a friend gave me a little purple book called The Grief Recovery Method. I read this book, and from the first page, I was hooked. I knew then that this was going to be for me. I then forgot about it, and life went on, and I settled into my new normal, getting the kids organized, settling into a new home. And about 3 years ago, I started feeling a little lost, and I knew that I needed some help. I remembered my little purple book and reread it. It struck such a chord in me that I then decided to take the course. And I was so blown away by it that I decided to become certified as a counselor for the Grief Recovery Method. And it has completely changed my life and many people that I've had the honor of helping as well. It was during my training that I met David, who was taking the course as well. We instantly connected, and a deep friendship was formed, based on our mutual grief, but also our desire to help others. After completing the course, we decided to team up and start leading our own groups. And so we started facilitating both one-on-one sessions and a group meetings. And it has been a truly incredible journey. So David is with me today, and I must say he has been such a positive impact in my life. So welcome, my friend. It's so nice to have you here. Before we start, I want to wish you a huge congratulations on becoming a grandpa for the second time this week. You now have a girl baby and a boy. How exciting.
Hi, Simone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I'm here. I just want to tell the listeners that this is our first time doing a live call-in, so just bear with us if we don't get it correct 100%. But hi, David.
Hi, Sim. Yes, I'm actually at the hospital. Just got finished visiting with my new granddaughter who came to us last night, a little bit over 12 hours ago. So I'm on a high right now.
Oh, I can only imagine. Is she adorable?
She is absolutely adorable. Just a tiny little peanut. Just it's amazing when you have a newborn how small they are. And you think, wow, this is where life begins. It's magical. It really is absolutely magical.
Oh, well, so much love to all of you, and it's just wonderful. So thank you, my friend, for being on the show. And if you don't mind me asking you a couple of questions and talking a little bit about your journey.
So I don't mind
at
all, Sim. And I just want to say thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you. And you said some very, very, very nice things about me, and I absolutely feel the same about you. I'm so glad that we did meet and that we've done so much work. You've helped me so much in my grief journey, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate what you're doing now with this podcast. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, well, thank you. So if you would share a little bit about your own grief journey, David, and what brought you to the grief recovery method.
Yes, absolutely. So my my son, my youngest of three, my son Nick, died 5.5 years ago. And he was 17 years old, and he died by suicide. And it was just the biggest blow that you can even imagine. People always ask when you talk about suicide, well, what were the signs? What do you see? And really, there were none with Nick. You know, it's one of those things when, as a Monday morning quarterback, you can always look back and say, well, this, well, that. But, you know, there was nothing seemed unusual or out of place for a 17-year-old having challenges of teenagehood. And, you know, when the police came to us and told us what had happened, I was just absolutely you just cannot be talking about my son, Nick, because that's just not something he would do. And so it threw me into a horrible tailspin because, you know, particularly when something like suicide, not only you're asking the why did they make that decision, but what was it? People tend to internalize, and I certainly internalize that. What did that mean about me as a parent that my son would make that choice? And so it was absolutely devastating. And like you, I also was given the book, The Grief Recovery Method, pretty early on, and I read it. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't think much about it until sandwiched in between Nick dying. My father died the year before that, and my mother died the year after that. Add those in to the fact that my wife and I were not having – we had troubles before Nick died. After Nick died, it became even more apparent that this wasn't the right place to be. And at that point, I thought, I need more. I did support groups, went to counseling, went to therapy. I tried lots and lots of different ways to deal with my grief. And then one day I thought, you know, I remember reading that book, The Grief Recovery Method, and they've got a training coming up. And I said, I'm just doing it. I'm going to take this training because I want to see how they deal with grief and how they teach people how to deal with grief differently than traditional counseling or self-help groups or anything like that. So that's how you and I met.
Yep, that is. I know. And that's a lot of grief that's a lot of compounded grief, David, that you went through. I mean, it was literally 1 year after the next that you had this. And then, of course, the unimaginable loss with Nick.
Yeah, it was five very eventful years that had a lot of grief around them. So I was mired in that, really looking at loss and how it impacted me and how it changed my view on life.
Yes, absolutely. And do you feel that, so it was when you came to the grief recovery method, like me, we both, I think, felt that we were in that deep, dark hole and knew that that's not where we wanted to be forever. Like for you and me, it was, you know, for me especially, and I think we both discussed this, we didn't want our grief to start defining who we were as people and defining the course of our lives going forward. We both just felt we had to do something to break the cycle and to be able to get out of it.
You're absolutely right, Sim. I knew that I wanted a better life. I wanted to be happy again. I wanted to have joy back in my life. And I knew that was possible. I just wasn't sure exactly how to get there. And so that's how I thought the grief recovery method tool would be another tool to help me to put in my tool belt and to help me in my grief journey.
Absolutely. And what would you say, what is the thing that resonated with you the most about the method that kind of drew you in and you knew this was going to be what was going to help you deal with your journey going forward, your grief journey?
Yeah, there are a couple of things I want to talk about. One of them is the fact that this isn't, I didn't want to go to some place and just be part of a therapy group. I wanted something that had action steps. I wanted an action-based program that would give me a series of steps to do, A, B, C, D, E. You're going to do these things. And the result of that will be that you will have a much different life. So what the things that the grief recovery method teaches are that grief, and particularly extended grief, grief that's happened that has gone on for a long time, is often about undelivered communication. It's those apologies that we never got to say, forgiveness that we never got to ask for. It's the just those emotional statements that we either didn't get to say, or if we said them, we didn't feel that they were heard. And
Correct.
so the grief recovery method was a way, and I was honestly, and I'll tell your listeners, I was shocked at how much emotion I still had. This was 3 years after Nick died. I thought I was pretty well along my journey, and I got into this class and realized how much grief was still there, how much sadness, how much emotion was still there that I was able, while doing this training, I was able to release. It was absolutely so freeing, and so I just felt lighter after taking the training.
Exactly. And I feel 100% the same. And I think that that's what differentiates the grief recovery method from other therapy or support groups in that, and as I said in the beginning of the show, those are really important. And of course, there's a place for therapy and for support groups. But I found for me, every time I would go and I would sit in one of these groups, and we would just go round and round, and it was the same story. And we were either talking about someone celebrating a birthday or who wasn't here. And I just found that there was no steps to, as you said, with the steps, nothing to really get us out of it. Nothing to, okay, take this step and work on that, and that's going to free you from a lot of the grief that we carry around. And for me, that was, and I think you feel the same, that was what is so great about this method, is that it's not, I mean, you work hard and you've got to dig deep, and we both know in the groups that we've run together, it hurts. I mean, there's a lot of pain there.
Yeah,
But
the
as you
groups
say,
do. I'm sorry,
yeah, go
I'll say
ahead.
the groups do. People get out of it as much as they're willing to put into it. And so, with the groups that we have done, what I've seen, what I think what we both have seen is that those people that come in and dip their toe in and do a little bit of the work, but they do their homework assignment right before the next group, or they don't get as much out of it as those who we give them the assignment and they go and they get fully invest themselves, envelop themselves in the process. And they allow
Right.
themselves to feel all of their feelings.
Right. And how would you say, David? I mean, we both taught these classes, and we've both, we've had one-on-ones, we've had the groups. And how, just to give our listeners, and I'd like it to come from you, just how the class is structured. Like, they come to the group, they would sign up for a group, and then how does the class get structured, and what is a typical class like? Because remembering that
Sure.
a lot of people have a fear of, I mean, it's a big step to face your grief, and a lot of people have this kind of fear. It's a fear. It's easier to hold on to something than to let something go. So if you wouldn't mind just explaining a little bit about how our classes are structured.
Oh, absolutely. The group, each individual session, the first hour or so is we're going to be talking, we're going to be doing some lecturing on different aspects of grief. It may be, what we have in common. It may be some of the steps that we go through. It may be some of the processes. But the first half is more about lecture and some just kind of reviewing what we've done the week before. The second half of the group, at each group, we give assignments. So everyone has homework assignments that we expect them to spend as much time outside the group as they do inside the group. So a two-hour group, we would expect someone then to go spend 1 to 2 hours on a homework assignment. That includes reading and writing.
Right.
And so the second half of the group, what we do is we take the large group and divide it into groups of two or three. So it's the beauty of this system is that you may have a group of 14 or 15 people, but you don't have to share all of your pain, all that stuff that's hurting with the whole group. You'll share it with one or two other people. And that's what we'll do in the writing assignment. And what you'll do is person gets the opportunity to read their writing assignment out loud and be fully heard. So the person that's listening, just listen. It's not a conversation that you have. So when I'm reading my homework assignment, and if you're my partner, you're just sitting there and listening to me. And the beauty of that is that how many times in our lives do we get to actually sit and have someone listen to it, really listen to us without telling us how we should fix it or what we should change or even how terrible that is. Just sit there and listen and acknowledge us. And then we get to practice listening, because the other person, you're going to be able to talk about, you're going to be able to tell me what you've written, and I'm going to sit there and just listen to you and support you. And that piece of it itself is so healing. There's three parts to that. One is before you write it, you're thinking about it. Then you write it, so kinesthetically you've written it out. And then you've verbalized it to someone else. You've actually gotten it outside of your body. You said the words, and they've left your mouth and left your body. And while that may not sound like that makes that much of a difference, it's extraordinary what difference that makes when you have someone who will simply listen to you.
Exactly, and it's so important to learn that skill. And I know, and you remember the story well, when I had to refrain from comforting someone while they were going through what they had to be feeling, which, just to share with our listeners, when David and I took the course together, we had, as you just mentioned, you know, all the steps that you do, and one of the steps is that you have to write, you know, kind of write this history line, and these are things that you would obviously be shown and taken through. But we were in this course, and we were meant to be just doing our own thing. And David was sitting a few chairs away from me, and he was just sobbing. I mean, that big, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, David.
I don't. It was huge. It was very cathartic. I've not cried like that very often in my life.
I mean, he really cried. And me being me, I have a need to comfort. I cannot see someone in feeling distress. So I immediately went over and I, you know, put my arm around him, and he completely ignored me. And that was such a lesson for me, because at that moment I knew that when you're going through grieving and when you're feeling what you need to be feeling, it's important for no one to come and break that for you. And he did the right thing you really did. You completely ignored me. And I learned in that moment as well how important it is to just let a person who is grieving be. Let them be in their space. Let them be in their head. Let them feel from their heart what they need to be feeling. So
that's so true.
So, yeah.
And that's difficult for people like you and me, because we are very empathetic. And so people that are very empathetic, our first reaction is we want to go help someone. We want to make them feel better. And yet what they might not need is, they might not need to feel better right there. They might need just to fully get it all out and continue and allow that grief or that anger, all those feelings just to come out. And so we don't need to stop that. We just let that go. So, but that's a tough one, Sim. That's a very tough one. That's probably one of the hardest things about our groups is watching people in pain and being just silent support for them. and not
Correct.
because we can't take away their pain. We just can't take away. We've got to allow them to have that.
Yes, absolutely. And what do you think some of the challenges are that people can expect to face when they commit to coming to these classes?
Well, look, grief is not fun. You know, if it was fun, we would have dealt with it really quickly. But it's just not. It's painful. We don't want to rehash those memories that are painful. We don't want to feel the sadness. We don't want to have it run our lives. And so it's what happens is that people get in the group and people come often with the best intentions. And after a couple of sessions, and we've sent them home with homework and they've been working on this homework at home, it's just tough. And I think that's the hardest thing for folks is just to make that absolute commitment. This is 8 weeks. I'm going to do this whole thing. Because what happens is when people do the whole thing, it's remarkable, remarkable the changes you see in them, the physical changes you see in them, the emotional changes, how life changes for them altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, you can certainly, we have some testimonials and people that we've helped. And I mean, do you want to share any particular success story that comes to your mind of someone
who
was in my life?
Yeah, I will. And this is a woman, I'll change her name to protect the, but we'll call her Mona. And Mona came for all 8 times. And her grief, her main grief that she wanted to deal with was with a divorce. And she was resistant when she first started. She was quiet, was, you know, one of those people that kind of did the homework late, came in a little bit late. But she kept after it, and we kept encouraging her. We kept trying to, you know, set those boundaries. And so for the very last session, when we actually have people write a letter and read a letter out loud, and I was paired with her that time because her regular partner had missed that session. And it was remarkable because evidently I had some of the characteristics of her ex-husband. And so for her, it was very cathartic because for her, it felt like she was saying these things. Not only did she had written them, but she had thought them, she had written them, and now she was saying them out loud. And it was extremely emotional for her. And I saw her just a week after that, and she came up to give me a big, big hug and just was so appreciative of the whole process and how it really changed how she felt about her ex, about her own life, and how she felt about the possibility of creating another relationship in her life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we saw, I mean, that was one story, and there have been so many. And I think we speak for our own lives, how much, you know, it's helped us and changed our lives and allowed us to move on.
So thank you for those.
Yeah. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, and again, I'm going to say, because you know me, I always have to say it again and again, because I'm so excited for you about the second baby. And
thank you.
If you wouldn't mind sharing what your emotions were like at the birth of both babies, because I know they're just about 4 months apart. And was there any sadness mixed with your joy? You know, do you think that after experiencing loss on the level that you have, that there are, you know, there are always these moments of joy that are tinged with sadness?
Well, there's that sense of, gosh, I wish these babies could meet my parents, you know, and meet their uncle Nick, you know. But I'm far enough along in my grief. It's really not about feeling that sad. I think that sadness impacted Nick's brother and sister more than it impacted me. So, for instance, my son, yesterday, you know, for the birth of his daughter, he was wearing old sweats from Nick because he wanted Nick to be a part of the whole process. So that's just part of the beauty of it, is that Nick is still a part of our lives. And so we've moved from that place of devastation of just focusing on the emptiness to focusing on the recognition that Nick is with us all the time, all the time. He's no farther away from us at any time than arm's length. I mean, I can talk to him. I can feel his presence at any time.
Amazing. So wonderful. And of course, the new babies are a symbol of the life cycle. And, you have a whole new generation now. And of course, my wish for you is this babies will be a constant source of only joy for you and the whole family, David.
Thank you, Simon. I really appreciate it. It is very exciting to know that the next generation is coming along, and I get to see and be close to both of them.
I think it's wonderful. Wonderful. So, my friend, I thank you so much for being on the show with me today and sharing your thoughts and story. And I just have to say that you, my friend, have certainly experienced grief in so many, many ways. And your strength, your determination, and just who you are is so inspirational to so many who know you. And I'm so glad that I'm one of those people that have the honor of knowing you and calling you my friend.
You're too kind, Sim. You absolutely are too kind. This is definitely a mutual admiration society, because I just so much enjoy who you are and who you challenge me to be, and I appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you, my friend, and I'm glad my listeners got to hear from you today and learn about your little bit about your journey and, you know, what the grief recovery method can do for them.
Well, thanks.
So
and you've got an upcoming group, is that right?
Yes. So, I do. And, you know, for my listeners, for more information about this, you can log on to my website, which is www.widowswish.com. And you can learn more about the grief recovery method on that. You can sign up for the courses online. And I have a new group that's going to be starting on January the 18th. The group sessions last for about 8 weeks. And, you know, as I said, all the information will be on the website. And also what's really nice, and David, I don't know if you know about this, well, you would know about this, that the grief recovery method is looking to allow counselors like yourself and me do Skype sessions. So hopefully, you know, we can be all over the world and get acquainted with all of you listeners. And, but right now I can certainly help those of you who are in the Atlanta area. So thank you again, David, for being my special guest today. And everybody, that's it for today. Please leave comments on the Blog Talk Radio page, and I look forward to hearing from any of you who would like to be a part of this organization. Next week, my guest will be my friend, Karen Nade, who is a social media expert. And we're going to be talking about why social media can be hard on us widows and ways to make it easier to stay connected in the social world and not make it hurt so much. And so, with much love, until next time, have an amazing week.